When Serbian Prime Minister Zoran Djindjic was assassinated earlier this week, the Serbian government was quick to point to organized crime. They've accused allies of former President Slobodan Milosevic of working with criminal gangs to order the slaying. Since the end of the Balkan Wars, Serbia has tried to create new institutions of civil and democratic governance, but law enforcement has been among the hardest tasks. Dan Serwer has been advising both the U.S. and the new Balkan nations about criminal justice practices. He directs the Balkans Initiative at the U.S. Institute of Peace, and he joins me now in the studio. Mr. Serwer, first of all, how does the existence of these organized crime groups impede democracy?
It makes it very, very difficult to move ahead on a broad front in building democratic institutions. They have political allies. They have their tentacles into the judiciary, into the police, into the secret services. Djindjic was very successful on the economic side, where he moved very quickly. But on the security side, he found it very tough going indeed.
The law enforcement institutions that should be dealing with this, what state are they in? And how do you begin to work with the existing law enforcement agencies and make them better?
It's important to purge them or vet them, as we say. And that's what wasn't done in Serbia, wasn't done effectively enough. After the overthrow of Milosevic, there was some considerable feeling on the part of the democratic forces that they owed a debt to the security services, which had not repressed as strongly as they might have the demonstrations that eventually created the conditions for Milosevic's overthrow. And they're going to unquestionably have a great deal of difficulty along the way.
And how similar are the situations in the Balkans and Iraq? Are there similarities?
Certainly there are some similarities in the sense that there are some ethnic tensions, probably significantly less severe in Iraq than in the Balkans. There's certainly the same American impulse to get the job done quickly and to get out, and a feeling that these civilian tasks are not what our military ought to be doing.
Well, let me ask you about that, because you are advising the U.S. government on building democracy in Iraq as well. Is that correct?
Our institute has been involved with offering what it can by way of advice to the U.S. government.
Well, what about the law enforcement institutions that are in existence in Saddam Hussein's Iraq? Do they bear any similarity to what you've been talking about with regard to the Balkans?
Certainly, I think they bear some similarity to the situation in Serbia. They are serving today the Saddam Hussein regime very loyally. They are guilty of innumerable crimes, crimes against humanity, as well as individual crimes. And it's going to be a real challenge to somehow use the parts of that apparatus that can be recovered and can learn to behave itself, and at the same time reject the parts that have misbehaved in the past and against which there's a lot of resentment in the Iraqi population. How do you tell the difference?
That was my next question.
How do you tell the difference? You know, everybody in these post-conflict situations will claim to be our best friend. And process has to be set up to distinguish between, let me say, the really bad guys and the just bad guys and the okay guys, so that you don't return power to the hands of people who really are unrecuperable for a democratic society.
Is it possible to make a naive mistake in terms of those that you put your trust in?
It is absolutely possible. I don't think there's any question but that there's a lot of empirical evidence that the people who collaborated with a bad regime in the past will be among the first to offer their collaboration to a new regime in the future.
So how do you begin that? I mean, what's when you're asked advice and you're told, don't make that mistake, what's the best piece of advice you can give to avoid doing that?
The beginning is the records of the old regime, and this is an important factor in the whole situation. If you allow the old regime to destroy its records as it's defeated, you'll be in a much more difficult situation than if you can seize those records and have a very clear notion of who were the leaders of the Secret Services and other police forces. This is not the first thing you would think of, but it's absolutely critical.
Daniel Serwer is director of the Balkans Initiative at the U.S. Institute of Peace. Thanks so much for being with us, Mr. Serwer.
Thank you.